everything that I've been holding on to, I let go. I surrender. I surrender. I'm ready for my change. I'm ready for my change. I forgive me. Everything that I've been holding on to, I let go. I surrender. I surrender. I'm ready for my change. I'm ready for my change. I'm ready for my change.
One of the unique opportunities of our fellowship is to allow our lay members to come up and talk and give a speech of something that they feel passionate about. And so we share our pulpit with our minister who preaches here half the time, and the other half of the time we have our lay membership give presentations. So this happens to be Evelyn's first time, I think, up here, right? So I want to give you a welcome.
She's
going to come up and talk about forgiving and healing.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And Pam, wow, that was awesome. I mean, in your song, you talk about surrender, and you talk about letting go and forgiveness. And so with that, I'm going to start. This is a quote from Martin Luther King. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. But what does forgiveness look like? I want to share with you a part of a sermon that a friend of mine shared with me not so long ago by John Piper, who for 33 years he served as a pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis. In his sermon, he spoke of the biblical definition of forgiveness, and each of its seven parts came from a passage of the scripture. And it's condensed to something like this. 1, resist thoughts of revenge, Romans 12:19. Never take your own revenge. Beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Don't seek to do them mischief. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. Don't seek to do them mischief. That's something hard to do when we're hurting. When someone does mischief to someone that we love. The other is wish well to them, Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you. Grieve at their calamities, Proverbs 24:17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Pray for them, Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who prosecute you. Seek reconciliation with them, Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And be always willing to come to their relief, Exodus 23:4. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. So most here today, if not all, would agree that forgiveness is healing, but it is not that simple for most. When we hear of the monstrosity of acts against others, acts that for some sitting here may be all too familiar with themselves, you ask, but how can anyone forgive such monstrous acts? So let me take you back to the tragic experience of a family some years ago. A devout group of Christian people living in a simple life without automobiles, electricity, or modern machinery in the hills of Pennsylvania. They work hard and live a quiet, peaceful life, separate from the world. They are known as the Amish people. A 32-year-old truck driver lived with his family in the Nickel Mines community. Though he wasn't Amish, his route took him to many of the Amish dairy farms. One October day, he lost all reason. In his tormented mind, he blamed God for the death of his first child and other tormenting memories. He stormed into the Amish school, takes the lives of five children, and wounds five others, then takes his own. The shocking violence caused great anguish among the Amish, but not anger. Their hurt was real, but they did not hate. Their forgiveness was immediate. The very day after the shooting, they went over to comfort the milkman's family. About half of the mourners at the funeral were Amish. They even invited the family to attend the funeral services of the girls who had been killed. A remarkable peace settled on the Amish as their faith sustained them during this crisis. Hearing of this tragedy, many people sent money to the Amish to pay for the health care of the five surviving children and burial expenses. Yet the Amish decided to share some of this money with the widow of the milkman and her three children because they too were victims of this terrible tragedy. One local resident very eloquently summed up the aftermath of this tragedy. We were all speaking the same language, and not just English, but a language of caring, a language of community, and a language of service, and yes, a language of forgiveness. The family of the milkman released a founding statement to the public, to the Amish friends, to our Amish friends, neighbors, and local community. Our family wants each of you to know that we are overwhelmed by the forgiveness, grace, and mercy that you have extended to all of us. Your love for our family has helped to provide the healing we so desperately needed. Your compassion has reached beyond our family, beyond our community, and is changing our world. And for this, we sincerely thank you. So that is what forgiveness looks like. In short, my friends, the Amish community taught us true forgiveness as they engaged with the other family despite their own grief and pains. They engaged in all of the seven ways, resisting revenge, not returning evil for evil, wishing them well, grieving at their calamities, praying for their welfare, seeking reconciliation so as far as it depends on you, and coming to their aid in distress. That, my friend, comes with practice. Because we're constantly surrounded by the media, thank you, news, current events of vengeance, retaliations, and rarely do we see that, in fact, there are wonderful acts that are taking place all over the world. And we simply don't hear about it. Even here in our own UU, where we support so many others, and yet the community doesn't even know about it, there's a lot of wonderful things happening. And we take that to heart and we take that in. And there's also things that sadden us. And forgiveness is not easy. But you know, for the Amish, forgiving is a heartfelt component of their religion. Their example of forgiveness is a sublime expression of their Christian love. But forgiveness is not always instantaneous as it is with the Amish, isn't it? It's a challenge. It's a real challenge. When those we love have been inflicted by mankind, most of us do not think about forgiveness. Our natural response is anger. We may even feel justified in wanting to get even with anyone who inflicts injury on us or our family, our loved ones, our neighbors. All of us suffer some degree of pain that seems to have no rhyme or reason. We cannot understand it or explain it. We may never know why some things happen in this life. The reason for some of our suffering is known only to the Lord or to the universe. Howard W. Hunton said that God knows what we do not know and sees what we do not see. Yes, society needs to be protected from hardened criminals because mercy cannot rob us out of justice. Forgiveness is a source of power, but it does not relieve us of consequences. When tragedy strikes, however, we should not respond by seeking personal vengeance, but rather let justice take its course and then let go. But if we can find forgiveness in our hearts for those who have caused us hurt and injury, we will rise to a higher level of self-esteem and well-being. The first part of this sermon, it's about that. What is forgiveness? And how challenging forgiveness can be. But let's talk about forgiveness as it relates to healing. Studies show that people who are taught to forgive become less angry, more hopeful, less depressed, less anxious, and less stressed, which leads to a greater physical well-being. See, rehashing the past hurts and never brings happiness. Fueling hatred doesn't promote spiritual growth. Wasting our precious energy on grudges, harboring resentment, and nursing unhealed wounds never leads to healing. Postponing forgiveness to our wrongdoers repent only serves to forfeit the peace and happiness that could be rightfully ours. So I want to share a poem that I wrote for you, my dear friends. And I called it, Practice Forgiveness is Not Often Easy. So, forgiveness comes from a place of abundant love. So even when you have been wronged, will you dare to still love? Forgiveness comes from training our minds to learn to let go, so we can make room for things that really matter. So are you willing to learn to let go, so your mind is never hijacked by your own inner chatter? It takes practice not wasting away emotional energy in search of a debt to be paid back. It takes a conscious effort to not let disappointments harbor deep in ourselves. Why, sometimes we create our own self-destruction, and yet we can't even tell. Maybe he or she who's done you wrong goes on living unknowingly of the hurt caused to you and living so happily. So why, my dear friend, would you cry each night? Let it go and be free. Why put up such a fight? They say forgiveness can be a form of surrender and release. Forgiving expands our capacity to love and be at peace. Forgiveness involves both mercy and justice. Forgiveness helps transform victims to survivors. Fred from Injustice. True self-forgiveness doesn't mean we are free of errors. It means we found the courage to see our own errors. True forgiveness turns away harsh self-judgment It transforms us from helpless to empowered with true endowment. Find a place in your heart to accept forgiven love, for it can be healing. No one said forgiveness is easy, but it can be liberating. It can be healing. I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to write this poem and share this poem with my congregation. I'm going to ask you all now to just take a moment and let's just breathe in. Let's breathe out. Let's breathe in forgiveness. And let's just let go. If there is someone you want to forgive, who is here, maybe not here, perhaps is forgiving of oneself, take that moment now to practice, not tomorrow, not in a week, not after I see an Ella Mann or an Oprah Winfrey show. Let's take a moment now. And I challenge you, I encourage you, take a moment to forgive. Let's practice it. Let's practice it now.